and Alex on Triple J.
Good morning. Tom and Alex are with you. If you're in Perth this weekend, you can go along to the Revelations Film Festival, rather, at the Astor Theatre, and see a little documentary called Good Hair. It's been put together by the one and only Chris Rock. He's regularly voted in the top 10 stand-ups of all time, compared with his, you know, people like Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby, often considered to continue that legacy. He's done all sorts of movies and that kind of stuff, and it was a really big deal for me to be able to get him on the phone and have a chat. He's a bit of a stand-up hero of mine. I think he's one of my favourite Oscar hosts. And, yeah, I got to pull him up on the
panel. Alec Baldwin, there. Steve Martin.
They were okay. But Chris Rock, he was cool. He was like, you know, the Oscars are kind of shit. He sort of, like, knew they were a bit rubbish.
I love it when hosts do that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So I got to have a chat to him last week, and first up I got him to sort of tell us a little bit more about the film Good Hair. Let's go to New York. Hello, Chris Rock.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not too much, man. It's about 8:30 in the morning, I think, where you are in New York. What do you got planned for today?
Write some jokes.
Okay, all right, that's good. Is this a regular day thing?
It's a regular day. I'm writing a movie, so I got to get in the office with partners and knock that out.
Cool, man. Can you give us any tantalizing tidbits at all about the movie, or is it all completely under wraps?
I'm writing this thing for Mike Nichols. It's a remake of a Kurosawa movie called High and Low, about a guy who... a guy's son gets kidnapped, and walking out the door with the ransom money, his son walks in, and they realize it's his best friend's son who got kidnapped.
Right.
So now he's got this dilemma, do I pay all this money for my friend's son?
I'm laughing already, Chris. You don't need jokes on that. That's a funny premise.
It'll be good. It's more of a drama, but it's a writing gig.
Yeah, so. Cool. Well, we want to get it on the line, Chris, because a movie is coming to Perth this weekend, a movie called Good Hair. It's sort of a documentary that you put together a little while ago. What can you tell us about Good Hair? I've seen it. And can I be honest, when I first got the DVD, I'm like, oh, really? How long does this go for? It's about hair. I'm like, I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry. But then I got sucked into this world of African-Americans' women's hair, and it was amazing.
My daughter was not complaining about her hair, but kind of loving her girlfriend's hair a little bit too much for me. And I don't know, it just sparked something in me. I just wanted to do a movie about hair, about black women and hair. But it's more than black women and hair. It's just people and looks. Like, no one is satisfied with how they look in the whole world. White women dye their hair blonde, and a lot of people get nose jobs. Just so much going on, and this is just focuses on black people and their hair.
Yeah, I know you can't see me, Chris, but I'm really attractive, so it was hard for me to relate to the whole thing. So I'm sorry about that.
But I'm sure you spent a lot of money to get there.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, a little personal trainers. My favourite part of the movie, I think, was when you were chatting to Reverend Al Sharpton, who's a very highly respected figure in the US, and you asked him about the first time he ever used relaxer, which I'd ask you to explain just really quickly what that is, and then he tells this amazing story about the first time he used relaxer. Can you tell us about that?
Well, relaxer is, like, I don't know, this cream that's straight your hair, like black hair, but it burns like Satan. So it's like you have gonorrhea of the hair.
Yeah.
And so it's Al Sharpton and all these people talking about how, you know, what they would do to have their hair straightened and how much they went through to get their hair straightened. Al Sharpton just talking to, you know, he's holding on to the sink and he's crying and he's screaming.
But then I believe James Brown was involved in the process as well, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. James Brown... See, Al Sharpton was friends with James Brown, of all people. And they were going to meet the president. James Brown was going to meet Reagan.
Right.
And James Brown said, I want your hair to look like mine when you go meet Reagan. You represent me. And he got, put the stuff in his hair, and it's Al Sharpton, James Brown, and Reagan. And Al Sharpton and Reagan and James Brown have, like, this crazy hair.
It's a bizarre process of putting just acid in your hair to go meet the president.
It's pretty much acid, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
And Ice-T's involved in the documentary as well. What's his take on
Ice-T's in there. Ice-T's got straightened hair. So, you got to talk to him. I mean, he was great. in the whole thing, because he's, you know, you could interview Ice Cube about anything.
Yeah.
You're always going to get great quotes, you know. CNN should have Ice T talking about oil in the Gulf. It's great. He can't have bad quotes, I think.
On Triple J this morning, Chris Rock is on the line. Of course, this brand new film out at the moment, a lot of people talking about it, called Grown Ups, which features yourself, the old SNL crew, Adam Sandler, Kevin James, yourself, David Spade, Rob Schneider. That must have been so much fun to shoot. Can you tell us what it was like being on set for Grown Ups?
You know what? It was really like a high school reunion or something. It was fun. We, you know, have dinners and whatever when we're in L.A., but it's very rare that you can get all of us in the same room. So that was just amazing. That was probably the most fun I've ever had doing a movie.
Was it just like old times, like just back in those days when you were, you know, you were starting out in the early 90s on Saturday Night Live, or was it remarkably different with 20 years in between those two experiences?
No, you know what? It was just like when we started at Saturday Night Live. It was, I mean, we're older and some of us have more chins than we used to, but we started insulting each other pretty much right away.
Great, great. Well, that's how comedians exist in the world and move through the world, yeah. I think. And what about your stand-up, Chris? Of course, you're regularly voted in top 10 greatest comedians of all time, which must be daunting or weird to see those kind of lists. Do you, Jake, take notes of that kind of stuff?
I mean, they're weird lists. It's not like comedians make the list, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, I'll take it. I'll take any praise. I'll take it. Richard Pryor's the greatest. Bill Cosby's right next to him.
Okay, hands down.
You know.
You don't see whether you've moved up or down in the past year when these things come out?
I don't know. I don't. Who knows, man?
And what are you writing a lot of stand-up at the moment? Obviously, doing a lot of film work.
I'm getting the stand-up together. I'll tour probably beginning of next year, which will get me in Australia probably next March, something like that.
Your stand-up tour is a massive, Chris. I remember, you know, like you performed to it. So many people, and it's so much hype, and, you know, there's a lot of gravitas with a Chris Rock show, and I think maybe you use that as well. Do you ever think that maybe sometimes stand-up can get too big? You know, you see people doing like these massive 360 huge stadium shows.
I mean, listen, you just have to be able to handle it. I think 10,000, I mean, I've done more. I did the O2, I did the Garden, but 7,000 to 10,000 is probably you can get the most bang for your buck, and you can like really handle the crowd. You just have to be ready. The bigger the crowd, the better your act has to be. The tighter you have to be, because if you're not really tight, then the crowd gets restless, and you don't have a guitar to really get their attention again.
Is that your advice to up-and-coming comedians, 7,000 to 10,000? That's what they should
say. Yeah, hey, if you can get it.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, Chris Rock, thanks so much for your time. It's you know, a real pleasure to chat to you, and you're a very big hero to a lot of people here in Australia. Very excited about you coming out. When you do it, your tour. Finally, can I ask you made this documentary, Good Hair, for your daughters. You know, you're worried about their focus on their hair. Have they had a chance to see it? Have you talked about the film with them?
You know what? They're 8 and 6, so they probably only understand half of it. But the stuff they see, you know, they're laughing at the hair show. That's their kids, like, woohoo, she's got crazy hair. But it's going to be great later on when they're old enough to really appreciate it and just realize that I was thinking about them. That's the cool thing.
Chris Rock, thanks so much for your time, man. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for chatting us on Triple J.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. That's Chris Rock. If you want to hear that full chat, you can go to triplej.net.au/Tom and Alex and you'll be able to podcast it there or stream it online. He was a lovely guy and, it was a really, really big deal to chat to him. So thanks, Chris Rock, if you're listening now.
Triple J Breakfast with Tom and Alex.